You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
Those who don't know me, my name is Tani, and I'm one of the teachers here at Real Church. And thanks to Pastor Nathan, I get to practice the spiritual gift of teaching today as I teach about how to use the spiritual gift of teaching. So I'm just going to be an example today. And which I think kind of helps because for most of you, you guys have seen me this past year work out this gift, and it's been messy. It's not perfect. If I could do this, you guys can do this, okay? Okay, so quick story about me. As we learned last week, discerning the gifts, you do it in community. And that is where I learned about the gift of teaching was in community. I had many people over the years tell me, hey, I think you have the gift of teaching. And I go, no, don't put me on a stage. Don't tell me to talk in front of people. No. I can do one-on-one tutoring. That's my jam. Don't make me go in front of people. And it was like that for years, so many different churches where they kept putting me in positions to teach. And I would do it because I'm like, all right, I want to honor God, but I'm terrified. And then come to Real Church and everyone keeps saying, like, you have this gift. And the biggest advocate was Pastor Nathan. And it was really funny because we had this like tension going on for years where he's like, I'm trying to get you over here. And I went, I know what you're trying to do, but I'm going to run over here because I don't want to be obedient. And finally, last year, God got me and I was obedient. And I came up on stage, and it's been a year of practicing obedience. It's been submitting to him. It's been having faith, having courage, willing to look like a fool, right? Willing to just mess up and just know that it's okay because God's sovereign. So I didn't really mess anything up. So I bring all that to say is that's the expectation, right? The expectation is you just show up. You just honor God. You just do what God calls you to do. That's what the gifts are. You're just honoring God. That's all you have to do. And we put so much pressure on ourselves to get it right, to get it perfect, to be the best. You're not. Just admit it. You're not the best. God is. That's it. Amen. You can't ever hit that. So don't even try because you're going to wear yourself out. So I'm not an expert. Nobody is. But I'm in this position of just humility and excitement to teach today of what God has taught me. And I trust that God's going to take what I teach today and it's going to be different for each person in this room. For some, what I'm going to talk about is going to be seeds that you're not going to understand until years from now. Well, you're going to go, oh, that's what God was doing in my life at that season in my life. For other people, it's going to be like water. It's going to be refreshing. It's going to be this reminder of, oh, that's right. God did tell me that. Okay, I need to go do that thing. And for other people, it's going to just be light. You're just going to have this moment of clarity. Like, I now understand. Oh my gosh, I see who I'm supposed to be. This is so cool. Also terrifying. And that's a good response. It's okay to be afraid. But the thing is, don't stay in fear, right? We go to faith. We move to faith. So let's not try to put the spirit in the box today. Let's just try to let God be God and just try to understand him as best that we can. So I'm going to start at the beginning, not Genesis, because we don't have time. I'm going to start in January, the year of our Lord, 2019, which is this year. We started on the value series, for a real series, talking about our values. It's how we do church. And I'm going to take a look at our 9 values. So if you don't remember, if you weren't here, these are the 9 values of church, of real church. These are the values that pretty much create the culture of Real Church, and it's how we do Real Church. So love, prayer, grace, freedom, generosity, community, honor, simplicity, and training. We have a bunch of sermons on that. If you want to catch up, it's on the podcast. But what I love is that this also describes how we do spiritual gifts as well, is that us as a church, we have to have this culture to really allow the Spirit to move. Because if we don't have love, it's all worthless. I'm going to talk about that more. It's pointless. It doesn't matter how great your gift is. It doesn't matter. It's pointless. If we're not praying, you're not using the gifts. If you don't have grace, oh, you're going to, oh, that's a whole thing. freedom. Freedom is a big one, because I think if there's freedom to fail, there's freedom to be who God made you to be. We really put ourselves in a box of like, no, this is what a Christian looks like. And we have a hard time allowing God to say, no, that's not how I made you. I made you to be this way. You actually have freedom to be this way. Generosity. Oh my gosh. There is a spiritual gift of generosity, so we definitely need that. But it's also being generous with ourselves and with others. Community. We use the gifts in community. That's the purpose, right? It's to build up the church. It's to edify the church. We honor. We honor God, and we honor the gifts that God has given to other people. It's so easy for us to compare and say, well, my gift's better. No, that's not honoring. That's not honoring to God, because that's God's power. God's power is not better than other God's power. It's all equal. Simplicity. We make it so complicated. I do. I've researched so much for this sermon, and God's like, what are you doing? Like, there is no 10-step process, Tawny. It's to trust me. I'm like, well, that's too simple. But we know it's not simple. If you really trust God, that's really hard to do. And then training. We are a training church. And what's great is using the spiritual gifts, this is the place to do it. It's a safe place. It's a training church. It's the place where you can come in and try out your gift. And if it doesn't work out, it's okay. Keep trying. Or maybe God's calling you to something else. Maybe someone in the community goes, actually, I don't think you have that gift. I think this gift is yours. Try this one out. And we have grace and we move on. So that's kind of how we practice the spiritual gifts. It's important that we continue with these values in mind, because we need to pray about everything. It's one of our axioms, is pray about everything. And we need to give grace. We need to give freedom. We need these values more than anything. So I don't want you to forget these. I know they were 7 months ago, but as you've learned, the sermon series that we're going through this year all build off of one another. So Pastor Nathan had recommended a book by this author named Sam Storm. And I read it, and I was like, I like this guy. I'm going to read another one. And he wrote this other one called Practicing the Power, Welcoming the Gifts of the Holy Spirit in Your Life. I highly recommend it. It's a really good book. And he had this powerful description of what a Christian is. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be amazing if that is kind of the goal of real church? So the quote is, people, theological. Theologically sophisticated followers of Christ who are open to and hungry for the present tense voice of the Spirit, while always subject to the functional and final authority of the written text of Scripture. I thought this was so powerful. Because to be a follower of Christ, be open and hungry, right? It's so easy to become this like mediocre Christian where you just expect the lowest common denominator of God. You don't expect him to show up. You expect to do everything in your own power. And for the present tense voice of the Spirit. So it's not just what we read in Acts and we go, oh, the Holy Spirit's so cool. And it's not what we read in Revelation of, oh, one day it's going to happen. He's going to come back. It's, no, we can do it now. We can interact with God now. We can worship him now. We can see his glory now. And then it's so important to understand that we have Scripture. We have the authority of the written text of Scripture. The problem we see in the church is so many churches will choose one or the other. They go to extremes, right? They'll go to no spirit, spirit's only in the Bible. I'm going to go this way because I can control, or I'm afraid, or I've seen it done wrong and I don't want to be like them. So I'm going to be over here where it's safe and I don't look like a crazy person. Then you come over here where you're like, we are the crazy people and we don't care, you know? And it's like, who cares what Scripture says? The Holy Spirit's crazy and we're going to dance and it's going to be great. Both are bad. Like, both don't honor God fully. Like, there needs to be both. And I think it's hard for us to do both because we are extreme people. It's just how we are as human beings. And so that's why this is like a goal. It's not saying that we're there and we're not there every day, but this is like what I pray for our church, is that we're going to have the Spirit and we're going to have this incredible knowledge as well of Scripture, and take everything that we do and look at Scripture and take Scripture and see the Spirit We need to have both. So in this imprint series, we are entering a period where we are putting tangible actions to what we believe. Because that's what the gifts are. They are tangible, concrete manifestations of God's Spirit. When we prophesy, when we lead worship, when we teach, when we speak in tongues, when we serve someone else, that is the Spirit of God alive in us. It's something that we can actually see and experience. I think that is amazing. And yet, so much of our lives, we just try to quench the Spirit. We say no, we run to control. I do it. But if we take what Pastor Nathan taught last week, just about discerning the gifts, and we take what we're going to talk about today is using the gifts, and we let God be glorified, we see God in action, we give permission for God to transform our lives, this community, Chicago, the world, I say let's do it. Yeah. All right, so I'm pumped. Anybody else? If not, that's okay. I hope as we go through, maybe you'll get more excited. I don't know. If not, it's cool. It's fine. I'll be excited for everybody. So how do we use the gifts? Okay, there's no perfect recipe. There's no 7-step process. I did the research. It's not there. So much of what Pastor Nathan taught last week is about discerning the gifts. It's pretty much what we can do for using the gifts. So I'm going to take us in a different direction. I'm going to kind of talk about some spiritual tools. I can't think of the right word. So it's like spiritual tools, it's resources, it's ways, foundational truths. Like there's so many different words to describe that. I'm going to talk about 4 things that help us use the spiritual gifts. I called them tools. It's not the right word, but we're going to go with it, okay? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, because when you want to learn about the spiritual gifts, you go to Corinthians. That's the best place to start. So in chapter 12, verses 4 through 12, I'm going to read this. And this is Paul talking to us about the gifts. He actually is talking about the gifts for many, many chapters. And I don't have time to go over it all. But he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To the gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." He's listing out a bunch of different gifts. And we've learned there are more gifts than just in here. But he keeps going back to something. It's the same Spirit. It's about unifying the church. It's about God, just God. Not all of our different gifts. I think we focus so much on the different gifts when we read that passage. We're like, where's my gift? Where's my gift? Okay, it's there. He talked about me. And really, Paul's saying, no, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that it's the Holy Spirit who empowers us as he wills for the common good. And it's not your superpower that brings glory to God. I think that's a big thing. It's not yours. You're not Wonder Woman. You're not Thor. I think we get really tripped up on that. And I know some of the language we're trying to change is my gift. And it's hard. It's so in me. So I apologize if I say my spiritual gift. I don't mean to say that. That's not correct. It's God's gift. You are a son and daughter of Christ, and that power is not your own. You get to have it. You get to share it. But you don't get to keep it and glorify it and build your kingdom with it. It's not yours. So you need to know the source of the power, which is God. You need to know the reason, which is common good, unification and edification of the church. Next, you need to know the most important ingredient you need. The thing that if you do not have, It's all worthless. It's love, right? Love. All you need is love. Do, 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 do. You need it. The Beatles were right. So if you just go to the next chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul continues talking about the spiritual gifts. And he starts saying, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So he's talking about spiritual gift of tongues. And if I have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I gave away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. What I find so remarkable about this is we focus so much on spiritual gifts and we think we're building something, right? Like it's like a muscle. We're gonna get stronger and stronger with it. They're temporary. That's not what's actually important. It's love is what's important. A good example of this, if you have ever been in a situation where you're just having the roughest day, you just feel like you're at the end and you're exhausted, and somebody comes up to you and gives you a word of knowledge, gives you faith, right? Gives you that gift. You receive it. You feel great, right? You're like, wow, I really needed that. I needed to hear that today. But it wasn't what they said that changed your life. It's how you felt. You felt love. You felt seen. That is what like Paul's talking about. It's these gifts are gonna go away. It's not about the gifts. It's about love. And who is love? God. God is love. What I think is so powerful about this is when we go to verse 4, love is patient and kind. He's describing God, but he's also describing the gifts too. Though, what if we read that again? Love is patient and kind. What if the gift is patient and kind? Love, what if it's not does not envy or boast? It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. The gift bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. If you think about it that way, it changes it. And it actually helps me understand when you're doing it wrong. Sometimes you need to know, like if you want to do something right, you want to know how to do it wrong. And if you are all of a sudden doing the opposite of scripture, if you are doing your gift not patient, right? If you're like bitter and angry and exhausted and resentful and hateful, that's not the spirit. That's the flesh. That's you. So how do you know if you're not using the gifts in the right way? There's three ways. You're angry, exhausted, bitter, hateful, which basically you're the opposite of verses 4 through 7. I could list it all. Just read that. And if it's not unifying the church, if all of a sudden it becomes about you, if you're using this gift of teaching, and we see this in Corinthians, we see Apollos, we see Paul, we see, you know, all these followers are saying, well, I follow this teacher, I follow this teacher, this teacher is better than yours. And we do that. We lift up other people's gifts and we think, they're amazing, I'm gonna follow them, when they're not amazing. God is amazing. And the moment that you say this person is better than the other person, you're not unifying the church. You're breaking up the body of Christ. That does not honor God. Same thing, the gift is not glorifying God. If you come out and you're like, I'm amazing, that does not glorify God. And I have such a hard time. There's people, I'm not going to name names, but there are quote-unquote televangelists that are out there, and they are preaching the word of God, and they are healing people, but not for the sake of people, not for God. They're doing it for themselves. They're building their own kingdom up, and it's an abuse of power. It does not glorify God, In fact, there's so many churches that have responded to that in a way that they run further away from using the gifts because they're so afraid of being associated with people who use spiritual gifts. If you think about it that way, it starts to break up the church. We kind of have fractured our own foot because we don't want to be associated with these people. But the thing is we're in disobedience. Not them. We're in disobedience if we're not doing what God called us to do. If we're so afraid of being associated with them, it doesn't honor God. And instead, we're not being obedient and we're not glorifying God. Okay, so third foundational tool you need. So we had Holy Spirit and we had love. Now we're moving into Scripture. We need Scripture. We need to know Scripture to use the gifts. It's hard to discern truth if you're not spending your time reading truth. We need the Word, who, by the way, is Jesus, and learn about him, by the way, through the Holy Spirit, who's the one teaching us. He makes it really easy for us. It's like, it's all me. Just hang out with me. And we read in John 14, 26, the Helper is the Holy Spirit. The Father will send him in my place. He will teach you everything and help you remember everything I have told you. That is what we need. I think there's so many times where we try to figure out ourselves, and God's like, I already gave you a book that like tells you all about me that I shared with the world. Read it. And the thing is, we have this opportunity right now where we have the most resources we've ever had. We have access to so many tools. We can read the Bible anywhere. You have the internet. It's printed. There's so many places that we have access to it. We have so many amazing theological writers who are teaching so many truths through podcasts, through YouTube. I mean, there's so many different areas. And yet, I think sometimes we are the most ignorant that we choose to ignore or that we go to control because we have all these resources that we think we have all this knowledge and it doesn't mean anything if you don't have love. And we don't trust God because then we think, well, I have all these tools. I know what to do. So the last foundational tool we need is prayer. Prayer is essential to the life of a Christian and to someone who desires to be used by God. You need prayer. That's why one of our axioms here is pray about everything. That's why one of our values here is prayer. We need to pray about everything. Again, it's easy. It's just, hello, God. It's just talking to God. It's just asking for help. And what's great is when you get a group of people, the body of Christ coming together and praying together, it's amazing what God can do through that. If you are confused on what your gift is, ask someone to pray with you. Get in with your community, get with your friends, and ask for prayer. Most of the time, they're going to know. They're going to have prophecy. They're going to know like what God's doing in your life. It's easier for other people to see it than ourselves sometimes. I fought teaching for so long and I became a teacher and everyone's like, well, duh. And then I think, well, why didn't you tell me that? I'm like, no, you did tell me that. I was just not listening. So even if you have these tools, doesn't mean you're going to like be perfect at it. That's not the point of this. These tools will help you in anything in the Christian life. It's not just using the gifts. This is just required, right? And it's given to us already. If you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, you already have this. You already have access to this, which is awesome. So before you use the gifts, while you're using the gifts, and after, when you're waiting for your spiritual beeper to go off, focus on these. Spend time in prayer. Read Scripture. Practice love and just pray for the Holy Spirit. Okay, now that you have these truths, these tools, whatever I want to call them, I don't know. I want to go over some warnings/reminders/ some things that God kind of was teaching me over the past couple weeks that I was really like, how does this all fit together? I don't understand. God's like, just write it out. So wrote it out. And I'm going to share it with you guys. Some of these are things that are going to sound familiar to you. Some of these I've already said, I'm just going to repeat. Some of these do not apply to you. You don't struggle with it. What I want you to do is I want you to write down what you struggle with. Something that you need to be reminded of. So number one, the gifts are not your superpower. Okay? They're not about you or your ego. I kind of hit the hammer on that one, I think, already. But it's not about you. Obedience must matter more to you than your success or image. That is painful, especially for some of us like achievers, where we want to look good, we want to look successful. Remember, in our church, we talk about that success is obedience. That's all it is. It's obedience to God. That's all it is. But you're going to have humility. You're going to have to release and allow yourself to be a fool. Paul talks a lot about that in Corinthians, about being a fool. That to the world, we look like fools, but to God, we look wise. Number three, be willing to look like a fool to the world, but wise in God's kingdom. I already got there. There you go. Number four, you can't control them, but you can abuse them. That is important. You can't control when the Spirit comes. You're not powerful. Sorry, guys. God's powerful. You're not powerful. You can't control them, but you can abuse them. As I talked about the televangelists, maybe one time he healed somebody and then he profited off of it. And it's an abuse of power. It's abuse, not of God's power, but of the world's power. And the enemy is totally going to get in there because it glorifies the enemy. It does not glorify God. Number five, you have a responsibility, but you do not have full authority either. So you do have a responsibility. Paul's telling you to pray for the gifts, right? To use the gifts. You do have the responsibility to steward these gifts, but you do not have authority over them. Number six, you can pursue the Spirit, but do not push him. Do not try to manipulate him. He can't be manipulated. You're just going to get destroyed in the process. So don't even try it. Number seven, gifts are given to carry out the work of the kingdom, not your kingdom. We want to do it because we're humans and we want to self-protect, but they're not for your kingdom. They're for God's kingdom. And it's going to look weird. That's the thing. There's things that God's going to ask you to do that you're thinking, that doesn't build the kingdom. I think building the kingdom looks like this. And God's like, it's my kingdom, not yours. It's going to look different. Number eight, practice the gifts and the strength of the Lord. Another one of our axioms, strength of the Lord. We do everything in the strength of the Lord. If you do this on your own, you will burn out. You will be destroyed. You will get frustrated. And unfortunately for some, people will walk away from Christ. Number nine, it's messy and you'll make mistakes. Yet we have and give grace. Number 10, discern the Spirit, but do not run, avoid, or guard yourself from the Spirit. I think, again, we go to extremes. When we read scripture about discerning the spirits, test the spirits, we're like, I don't even want to do the test. It's a fail. I'm going to go over here. The Spirit doesn't exist. I'm going to be over here because it's safe. When God's saying, no, 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 pursue me. I want you to use the gifts, but you need to test them. You need to be wise. And number 11, take courage, pray for faith, and humble yourself. I think that to me is, for me, that was like, number 11 was, oh, that one's for me. Okay, this is a good one. We need to take courage. It takes courage to use the gifts because you have to humble yourself. You got to die to self. You got to do something you've never done before. You got to pray for faith because it's hard to believe that, one, that God's going to use you, that God's going to show up, that you're even worthy to be used. But then on the flip side, you also got to humble yourself because some people are going to go in and go, well, of course God's going to use me. I'm God's gift to humanity, right? No, it's not about you. It's about God. I say all this because I think we have this fear that the gifts are for the crazy people, because that's what we've seen. We've seen that on TV. We've seen that in culture. We see people make fun of Christians, and they're usually making fun of those types of Christians that are using the gifts, that are more Pentecostal, they're more charismatic. But sometimes I think the crazy people are the ones who are trying to do the work of the kingdom without the power of the king. I think we're crazy when God says, hey, do all these things, and we think, all right, I can do this on my own effort. We are the ones that get destroyed. And I don't want that for us. And as we're going through this series, that's why we have to go back to rest, the restful series. We have to go back to everything we learned in that series about praying about everything, about spending time with God, about not burning out, about trusting God. So I just wanted to set up your expectations. It's going to be messy. You'll mess up, but it's not permanent. And I want you guys to have courage. I want you to have faith that God's going to show up, because God's already here. God's already moving. I just want you guys to participate in it. Right. So one last warning is, what if people are abusing their gifts? Let's first explain the difference between error and abuse. When you error, when you mess up, we give grace. You correct, you encourage, and you disciple. That is what you do. You do not shame, you do not embarrass, or cause them to quench the spirit. But abuse is something completely different. Usually that involves someone using their gift as a weapon against the church. This purpose is to hurt, to destroy unity, to quench the spirit. If you see this occur in this church, go to Pastor Nathan, go to Pastor Mike. Tell them. They will pray, they will discern, and they will follow the proper steps. Because we are moving into a time where we're asking for the Spirit of God to move in our church. And it's going to get messy. It is. And the enemy's not going to want that. We're not going to want that at times. Let's be real. That's scary. But I know that for some of us, this is what we were made for. This is what we've been wanting. That when we first became a Christian, we read scripture and went, I want that. I want the Spirit of God to move in my life. I want God to use me. And along the way, we allowed fear instead of faith to control us. So what are we asking? What am I pitching here? What am I asking for you guys to do? So 1 Peter 4:10 pretty much sums it up. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's all we're asking. Use the gift that God's given you. Faithfully administer it to God, for God's grace in various forms. However, whatever your gift is, whatever it is, use it for the glory of God. So what is it? God has given you a gift to give to others, so use them and spread his grace. When? Now. Every day. Anytime. Over and over and over and over again. Where? You do it in community. Who? You, Christian. I'm talking to all you. How? In the Spirit, by the Spirit, for the Spirit. Why? To glorify God and to experience him right now. All right, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as I close this out. As I said, we practice the gifts in community. So find someone else in the church who has the same gift as you and talk to them. Learn from them. Let's use each other as resources. Use the teaching team. Use the pastors. Ask people. We are all here to support and to encourage. And then find someone who needs healing, who needs a word of knowledge, who needs prophecy, who needs help. And on the flip side, tell someone you need healing, you need prophecy, you need healing. Like, tell people that. Let's be that weird people that just comes up and say, man, my foot's hurting. Can anyone pray for me? Just walk up and ask for that. It's going to get uncomfortable, but let it be for the glory of God. Amen. You can spend your life reading everything about how to use the gift because you do not trust God, because you're too scared, because you didn't do it perfectly. Whatever your excuse, this is the place to work out these gifts. This is a safe place. So let's see what the Spirit does. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for us. God, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, God, for being a God who moves, who is alive, who wants to just invade our lives and be glorified. God, help us to glorify you. Help us to have courage. Help us to have faith, Lord. Help us to follow you. We want to see you now. We want to see you in the present tense being glorified. Thank you, Lord. Son's precious name. Amen.